This is a Chronicle podcast, bringing you ideas in the service of medicine.
From the Chronicle podcast system, this is Vendor on Psoriasis with Dr. Ron Vendor. Based on the popular Vendor on Psoriasis column in the Chronicle of Skin Analogy, Dr. Vendor provides brief synopses of recent significant clinical developments in psoriasis research, and provides his observations and comments to accompany each report. In each episode, Dr. Vendor will answer questions and offer his expert observations and anecdotes on treating this chronic disease. If you have a question for Dr. Vendor, or want to be in touch at any time, just send an email to vendor@chronicle.org. That's V-E-N-D-E-R @chronicle.org. And, if you attach a voice clip, we might even use your question on an upcoming episode. Support for this podcast comes from Sun Pharma Canada. Sun Pharma is a world leader in specialty therapeutics, and is now positioned to be an even larger contributor to the Canadian dermatology landscape. Learn more at www.sunpharma.com. And now, here's Jeremy Visser.
Thanks, Leona. Welcome back. I'm Jeremy Visser of the Chronicle of Skin and Allergy. You're listening to the Vendor on Psoriasis podcast with Dr. Ron Vendor. In our fourth episode, Dr. Vendor will be talking about the potential link between chronic kidney disease and psoriasis, treating patients with ustekinumab withdrawal, and combination therapy for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Our first study looks at the potential link between chronic kidney disease and some inflammatory skin diseases, including psoriasis. What did you think about this study, Dr. Vendor?
Thanks, Jeremy, and I welcome all the listeners back. This is a very interesting study because we know that psoriasis patients have a lot of comorbidities, mostly cardiovascular and metabolic, such as metabolic syndrome, and also arthritis, psychological disease, inflammatory bowel disease as well. And now this study looked at chronic kidney disease that are stage 3, 4, or 5 and an association with atopic dermatitis, psoriasis, rosacea, and hidradenitis suppurativa. What they did is they looked at individuals that had chronic kidney disease, stages 3 to 5, and they compared them to this United Kingdom Clinical Practice Research Data Link. And they tried to look at the prevalence of this chronic kidney disease with and without inflammatory skin disease. Now, this is a big, big data mine because it included 56,600 patients that had chronic kidney disease and over 250,000 controls. So this is nothing small. And I think that what I'll do is I'll just focus on what they found for psoriasis. And they found that the overall risk was 1.13 for patients that had psoriasis and chronic kidney disease compared to the controls. Now, this was adjusted for hypertension and cardiovascular disease as well. And also, they looked at a cohort that had diabetes, and that was about a lot of cases, a cohort with diabetes, and they showed no evidence of chronic kidney disease associated with psoriasis and the diabetes as well. So that overall risk is quite low, 1.13, and it is associated with the chronic kidney disease and psoriasis. So I think that we must be aware of that.
Next up, we have a study looking at using abatacept to prevent psoriasis relapse after ustekinumab withdrawal. Your comments, Dr. Vendor?
Well, abatacept is certainly something that dermatologists do not use very often. It is used mostly in rheumatology. And I'm not really sure why this was done. The only thing I could see is that it was from 2014 to 2016. And what they did is they looked at those that had responded to ustekinumab at week 12, and they also took those patients that didn't respond and switched them to abatacept. And they found that the patients that had ustekinumab at the dosing based on their weight, and then were also randomized to get abatacept when the ustekinumab had discontinued, showed that they had some improvement of their skin psoriasis. Now, dermatologists are not going to use abatacept for their patients. The bottom line in this study, although there was some improvement, it really did not prevent the psoriasis relapse to occur, because it's just not blocking the pathogenic psoriasis pathways that led to relapse. There were some patients that had some improvement, but it was not statistically significant. The one thing I would say is I don't see a reason to ever have to do this when we can switch to other classes of biologic. But at that time, those classes were not widely used. And so likely, and I'm not sure of the exact details, but likely these patients either had contraindications to TNF inhibitors or they had failed multiple TNF inhibitors. So therefore there was not that switch. So the bottom line is that using abatacept in psoriasis of the skin is not very helpful.
Lastly, we have a study looking at long-term safety and efficacy of a fixed combination of halobetazole propionate and tazarotene lotion in patients with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Dr. Vender, what's your takeaway from this study?
Well, this combination therapy is a new therapy that is available in Canada. It's been out in the United States for a few years, but in Canada, we're not at a year yet, but very, very close to it. And it comes as a lotion form with a very nice base called Prismatex matrix type of base that is very comfortable for the skin. It's not greasy. It can be applied in the scalp. And it just reinforces that combination therapies can be very, very helpful. Now, this was a one-year multi-center open label study of just over 550 adults that had psoriasis. And their body surface area ranged from mild to 3% up to moderate to 12% as well. And this lotion of halobetazole and tazarotene was applied for 8 weeks and then only as needed for about 4 weeks up to a year. And what it showed is the response that we typically get with topical therapies for psoriasis is that about 50 to 60%, and to be exact, 57.8% achieved the treatment success. And what is that success? The success is usually a drop of two levels of investigator global assessment or a reduction in body surface area, depending on how they were measured. And the success is quite quick because over 50% had success within the first 2 months of therapy. And about half of them didn't even need to apply it for 4 weeks later, showing this longer term or lasting effect without a true skin atrophy that you would see by using a potent topical steroid, because the topical steroid in this combination lotion is of a potent, but of a lower concentration as well. And for the patients that were at about a year, over 75% of them were able to maintain a low body surface area of less than 5. Now, some of the side effects that occur, however, that may stop patients from using it include dermatitis and itch, and very uncommon to have pain, but occasionally irritation as well. And this fixed combination is a very nice vehicle that is well accepted by patients. However, one must warn the patient of these potential side effects. But it has nice efficacy, as we would expect, and even some remission that may decrease the use of it, especially after 8 weeks of use.
Our first listener question this week comes from the Greater Toronto Area, looking at our first study. With one paper finding a weak association between several inflammatory skin conditions and chronic kidney disease, should dermatologists be elevating their suspicion of this comorbidity in their patients?
Thank you for the question, Jeremy. So back to that paper with the chronic kidney disease, I think that monitoring the patients for comorbidity is still important, although some dermatologists feel that it should be the primary care physician that looks after that. I think it's our duty as dermatologists to make primary care healthcare providers to be aware that this can occur. So with a what we would call, and I put in big quotations, routine blood work, which is not necessary for biologics or psoriasis patients, just doing a screen, although the yield may be low and we don't want to increase the cost to the healthcare system, that the discovery of metabolic syndrome, hyperlipidemia, and now chronic kidney disease may benefit the patient overall in health. So I think that dermatologists should do due diligence in checking the kidney function as part of their general yearly screening of comorbidities that could occur before they become symptomatic.
Our next question comes from a listener in Ottawa. How would you recommend combining that topical halobetazole propionate and tazarotene product with other treatment approaches, such as UV light treatment? Could it be combined with a systemic treatment in case of flares?
So thank you for the question. We spoke a lot on this episode about optimizing therapy and adding therapy such as apremilast, and we did not speak about adding topical therapy. And there are no studies to prove that adding topical therapy in order to gain some extra efficacy in a biologic patient that has waned efficacy or is having troublesome spots. Quite often, anecdotally, and by using expert opinion, we do add topical therapy. So if there are some plaques that are resistant in the scalp or on the hip, whether it be Kevnarized or not, adding a topical combination therapy such as the halobetazole, tazarotene, or even using betamethasone dipropionate with calcipotriol in a gel or a foam could be helpful. So that I would certainly agree with, and I do use it as part of my treatment protocol for times that we need this type of therapy for maybe isolated spots. Now, the use with ultraviolet light has not been studied, but tazarotene is a retinoid, and if the patient is having some irritation or dermatitis or inflammation of the local areas from the use of this, combining it with ultraviolet therapy may not be a good idea because this could exacerbate the photo irritation. I wouldn't say photosensitivity, but photo irritation that can occur. And also, different parts of Canada, ultraviolet light has become very difficult to get for access, especially. So it can be used, but I would be very cautious when using it with a topical retinoid that is as potent as tazarotene.
Thank you, Dr. Vender. Listeners, if you have comments or questions for Dr. Vender, send them over. Send an email to health@chronicle.org. Add a voice clip attachment to your questions, and you might appear in a future episode of this podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends. You can subscribe at Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is produced in cooperation with Sun Pharma Canada. I'm Jeremy Visser of Chronicle Companies. Your host has been Dr. Ron Vender, founder and director of Venderm Innovations in Psoriasis, a center of excellence for psoriasis offering a comprehensive management solution for individuals with psoriasis. We'll talk again next week.